As we're into the 7 o'clock hour, we are in week number one of Texans OTAs, and I am going to give you the top five most important Texans that are not named Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Clowney, or DeAndre Hopkins. So aside from the core of the team, the four best players, I'm going to give you the five most important guys, starting from number five. Aaron Colvin is critical to this season if he goes out there and plays well. You go look up Aaron Colvin in the last season that they played again in Jacksonville. His coverage grades were so much better, not just in 2017, but also in 2016 as well, even though he played far fewer games and snaps. If this is somebody who can legitimately cover slot receivers in this division and over the course of the season, particularly with some of the offenses they're going to go against, the Texans will this season, that's going to make a huge difference. I'm not saying it's going to happen,
yeah,
but he is a critical player if this team hopes to be a contender in the AFC.
We're at the point now where Aaron Colvin doesn't need to be worth the money they paid him. He needs to be a viable slot corner.
Yes.
And the trouble with paying a slot corner in free agency is that slot corner is really, really volatile from year to year. Like, it's hard to figure out who actually is a good slot corner until they have a bunch of years of experience, because a lot of it depends on scheme, a lot of it depends on matchups, a lot of it depends on who you have playing next to you. Aaron Colvin had some really good cornerbacks next to him in Jacksonville, so I don't know where he's going to settle in when he's hopefully healthy, but he just needs to be viable. You're right. Like, he doesn't need to be all pro. He doesn't need to be getting 10 picks or anything like that. He just needs to be viable and like a non-scratch in a playoff game.
I don't know that I want him to be one of the five most important Texans not named Watson, Watt, Clowney, or Hopkins, because I feel like he could be one of the most important in a bad way.
He could be, but he's still
important.
That's why he's so important.
He didn't say best. He said important.
Listen,
like,
Paul.
Paul, you just made an argument for why he's one of the most important.
Well, I don't want him to be one of the most important Texans. I feel like I'd rather him just blend in. You know, and that's a shame, because I was in a different spot. I thought he was going to be their most impactful offseason acquisition, and it just didn't happen.
But that's why I'm saying, though, Paul, I'm agreeing with Mike, and I'm saying it is important that he at least be good enough to just blend in. That's what we're talking about right now. We need as many viable cornerbacks as possible out there, because there weren't enough last year. So as long as Aaron Colvin can actually be healthy and be out there and like be like, oh, okay, he's at least an okay slot corner, that's a huge improvement. I'm not asking for the moon and the stars here.
And that's the big thing. You just want him to be better and a contributor to this team, whereas he was a total minus last year.
It had to be the injuries.
I mean, he's 27 years old.
Yeah.
He can't be done playing football. He was good at Oklahoma. I know he had some injuries. He was good multiple years in Jacksonville. If he has something left in the tank, which he should based on his age, and if he plays well, it makes a huge difference for this secondary. Deontay Foreman is the fourth most important Houston Texan that is not named Watson, Watt, Hopkins, or Clowney, because he's got the most upside of the running backs. If he puts things together this year and he actually is able to stay on the field for 16 games, he's got a certain amount of power and possibly, I don't know if I should say raw speed, since Lamar Miller is a pretty fast guy. But Deontay Foreman has the most upside in the backfield, and I'm encouraged by what I saw this week. I realize it's OTAs, but we were all out there this week, and Deontay Foreman looks like a different human being. He's slimmer, he looked pretty explosive, and I just think his upside is the reason I put him at number four.
Yeah, and like you can't read too much into how a guy looks out there at OTAs unless it's a guy like Deontay Foreman who apparently didn't impress Bill O'Brien all that much in his first couple years with a lot of the little things, where now it's very evident that Deontay Foreman has taken care of his workouts. But then more importantly, and this is the hardest thing for some guys, especially with running backs, we've seen this with Eddie Lacy and other guys like that, discipline at the dinner table is huge for running backs. And because with running backs, I saw this with Fred Taylor. I played with Fred Taylor back when people called him Fragile Freddy because he got injured all the time. Fred very much was a young stud who needed to learn how to take care of his body. It wasn't that Fred didn't work out or anything. It was all on the recovery side of things. It was getting enough sleep at night. It was getting in the cold tub afterwards. It was getting massages, all that stuff. And Fred made a huge turnaround. The Jaguars helped him out too, because they had Maurice Jones-Drew come in to kind of spell him. But that was huge. So Fred Taylor was always successful, but like really took a step forward when he started taking care of his body. It seems like Deontay Foreman learned that lesson, and maybe you look a few years down the road, maybe that Achilles tendon tear was a blessing in disguise because it really had to shock some discipline and maturity into him.
Do you think he'll be higher on the list? Do you think he'll end up higher on the list?
Well, the three guys I have above him, I just think if they play well, are guys in such huge positions of need for this team that they change the whole dynamic of the offense and defense.
Let me rephrase the question. What are the chances that Deontay Foreman ends up higher on this list because of his performance this season? How good do you feel about Deontay Foreman going into this year where he should be fully healthy?
I do feel pretty good. I'm still a little bit skeptical, and I do worry that the organization has placed too much of a bet on Deontay Foreman, but I feel better this week than last week because of what I saw this week at OTAs.
And a lot of it with Deontay Foreman still depends on the offensive line as a whole.
Yes.
And
he can't just do it on his own.
Right. Now, unless the Texans are passing the ball extremely well, and if they're doing it from spread formations, that just kind of naturally opens up the run. If you become a team that passes the ball to set up the run, then Deontay Foreman can do really well. So, because he doesn't have to just be a guy that is some kind of battering ram or something. The Texans keep trying to be that team. They've tried to be that team for like six straight years. They're not that team. They just flat out don't do a good job of it. They need to be able to pass the ball and move the things around, unless all of a sudden this offensive line really gels.
We're going through the five most important Texans players this year, not named Watson, Watt, Clowney, or Hopkins. Number three is Kiki Kutsi. Here's what Deshaun Watson said about the second-year receiver this week at Texans OTAs.
You never know what he's going to do with the ball in his hands. I mean, he can do all types of stuff, and you know he's a guy that the defense have to worry about. So you have three, you know, including the tight ends, four, you know, guys that can go out there and run routes. I mean, you got to count all those guys. So you can't just count for Hop and Will. You got to count for all four of them, and
We saw what Kiki Kutsi was able to do when he was on the field healthy in the two Indianapolis games, the first one and the last one. He was basically a vacuum. I mean, this is a dude who in those games, I mean, he caught 11 passes the first time and 11 passes the second game against Indianapolis. He was the only bright spot, literally the only bright spot in the playoff game. And my big thing is, I just think he changes the way the offense works, especially if everybody else is relatively healthy around him, that he helps out the offensive line because of all the receivers. He can get open the quickest. He's a big safety valve, a release valve, however you want to put it, for Deshaun Watson. And the way that he looked this week, I know it's early and it's still OTAs, but I was very impressed by what I saw from Kiki.
You know what? Oh, go ahead, Paul.
From an OTA perspective, I think it's really important that he is there. DeAndre Hopkins isn't. Will Fuller isn't.
Yes.
They're going to develop, I think, some serious extra chemistry because of the fact that they're both able to work with one another.
O'Brien's been searching for this slot receiver for a while. He found him. Just got to stay healthy.
You know he's got to start doing? He's got to do that old annoying Indianapolis Colts thing where he dives to the ground as soon as there's any hint of trouble at
all.
I used to despise that.
It's a good idea.
Welker was pretty good. Welker was okay at that, but he still had too many concussions.
He'd still get hit while he was doing it.
Yeah, Edelman doesn't do it at all.
No,
right?
Edelman tries to run people over.
Edelman tries to be Jim Brown out there and does actually a pretty good job of it. QT is a little fella. He needs to just go down. He needs to pull. I could pull out any pretty much all those old Colts receivers. Used to just, as soon as there's any hint of contact, they'd submarine. I'm okay. There's no shame in that with Kiki QT.
Kiki's a big time player. The only thing I worry about is can he stay healthy? All right, we got two left. So Aaron Colvin, Deontay Foreman, Kiki QT, the five most important Texans that are not their four best players: Watson, Watt, Clowney, or Hopkins. Bradley Roby. Now, this one is a total wild card. I have no idea how this guy's going to play this season. Bradley Roby was good in 2017. He was flat out bad in Denver in 2018. And it's not even proven at this point that he is good enough to be a starting cornerback that you want on a playoff contender. That's not even proven at this point. Some people in Denver think he's a third cornerback. But if he plays up to his deal, which is $10 million for this year, and if he can be a legitimate starting corner on this team to enable you to match up with some of the faster receivers that you will play this season, guys like T.Y. Hilton, that makes a massive difference for this team. They didn't even have guys, the Texans, like Bradley Roby the last couple of years. So now you have him, and he is somebody who, if this team's a real contender in the AFC, I think he would have to do good things this year for that to happen.
And that's the big thing is the Texans want to be able to play more man defense this year. And that's why they drafted Lonnie Johnson, and they hope they can develop him into a guy that can play more man defense. It's a lot easier said than done. And it seems like it's getting harder and harder to play man defense in the NFL. But that's Bradley Roby needs to come up huge in like four key games, and then I'll feel that it was worth it. The Indianapolis Colts being two of those four games, and T.Y. Hilton specifically.
It's a total wild card.
If T.Y. Hilton wears that damn clown mask into Energy Stadium again this year,
yep,
and then makes the Texans look like clowns, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go. Like, what am I going to do?
You can't do anything.
You know what we need to do? We need to find out who the Benedict Arnold costume shop was that sold him that clown mask.
Good point.
Because when T.Y. Hilton came here and bought that clown, he had somebody go out and buy that clown mask for him at a Houston establishment.
Wait, well, do costume shops require ID now?
Yes, they need to ask. Wait a second. Do you know T.Y. Hilton? Are you planning to give this to him to wear off the bus?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Paul. That's a good point.
There's more security involved at a Halloween shop than at other places that maybe he could use some more. Okay, that's interesting.
What if he bought an Indy?
What's that?
What if he bought an Indianapolis?
The story was told that they bought
it here. Oh, that he bought it here. Okay. Yeah. I guess I somehow missed that and somehow didn't listen closely enough. Yeah. Poor job by me. All right, one more. The most important Texans player not named Watson, Watt, Clowney, or Hopkins. Titus Howard, the first round pick, number 23 overall. We know how desperate this team is on the offensive line, and if he is able to secure left tackle or right tackle, as hard as that may be, that will make a world of difference for this offensive line, because as bad as the offensive line has been the last couple of years, I'm also a believer that there's a domino effect with offensive linemen, which means you don't need to just get five good players. If you have even one or two, it helps you so much, because then you can focus all your attention on helping the other two or three guys. So if Titus Howard locks down one of those spots as a rookie, again, a lot to ask. It changes so much.
Like unreasonable expectations. It changes so much. Yourselves. Tough, specific, unreasonable goals, Mike. That's what my old special teams coach, Frank Gant Sr., used to say. Specific? I don't know. He had some kind of acronym. Specific, tough, unreasonable, achievable, I don't know. A bunch of stuff like that. But unreasonable is the key one. A lot of people don't like throwing the unreasonable in there. They're like, hey, make your goals achievable. That way you'll feel good at the end of it. Go screw yourself. Yeah, you're going to
dream.
Titus Howard, you're going to start this year. You got John McClain in here sitting there saying your college coaches were bad just because you went to Alabama State. I defended your college coach without knowing anything about him. Other than that, Reggie Barlow, the guy that recruited Titus Howard, was an old teammate of mine in Jacksonville.
That's right.
So John McClain sat here and talked smack about my old teammate right to my face. So you hear that, Titus Howard? You got John McClain talking smack about your college coaches. Go prove him wrong.
Plus, we had the coach of Alabama State on the morning after the draft pick about a month ago, and he seemed like a nice fellow.
He wasn't the O-line coach, though.
He was not the O-line coach, that's true. Yes, McClain is more referring to position coaches, in fairness. Steve Trevino,
He said he didn't have good college coaches. Like, what the hell is that? Like,
I'm saying,
how do you know?
I'm saying in fairness to what I said about the coach. Right. Yeah, I'm not saying in fairness.
I'm still offended by
it.
That.
It was totally unfair to the offensive
line
coach.
I honestly took that like as somebody that went to a small school and had probably one of my best position coaches I ever had at any level of football was my college D-line coach. I got offended.
Steve Trevino, who's going to be at the Improv this weekend, is going to join us this hour. Also, one worry I have with Jadeveon Clowney, what training camp is going to look like. Matt Radio, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday.